from KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line.
Those bit swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauly on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go. Let's go.
We have arrived to Friday. Welcome in. It is a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Only have you for about a half hour or so. We're going to get out of here at about 6:40. Coverage of SLU Billikens basketball tonight at 6:45. Man, I'll tell you what. There are very few things in the world of radio and sports broadcasting, and maybe just in life overall, but we'll go with the first two. There are very few things in life that I enjoy more than listening to Bob Ramsey and Earl Austin Jr. call Billiken basketball. And, of course, we are your home for the Billikens, and we're going to have a lot of it. But they are playing their second and final exhibition game tonight. They match up against Maryville. 7 o'clock for tip-off over at Chaffetz Arena. Our coverage at 6:45, and then they're going to open up their season for real when they play a game against Santa Clara coming up on Monday, November 4th. That's actually going to be an afternoon game. Man, we're happy to have Billikens basketball, and it starts tonight. Also going on tonight, the World Series. We are about an hour away from that getting started, and former Cardinals galore in this World Series for sure, including tonight's starting pitcher for the Dodgers and Jack Flaherty. Kind of funny to look at Jack Flaherty starting. Bernie Miklas has said this a couple times recently, and I couldn't agree more. There are enough players who the Cardinals got rid of that have gone on to have a lot of success that you can be frustrated about those decisions. There's enough of those guys floating out there that you don't need to revise history and get upset about other ones. Jack Flaherty was to the, whether it was a majority of fans or vocal minority, I don't know. But to many fans, it felt like Flaherty had kind of lost the fan base. Maybe I'm reading that one wrong, but I don't think, as the person who takes phone calls after Cardinals games, I don't think I'm reading that one wrong. And there was, I don't know if it was celebration when he was no longer a Cardinal, but it was just, he was one of those guys that I think a lot of Cardinal fans were ready for him to be a former Cardinal. Right or wrong, they were ready for him to be a former Cardinal, and now all of a sudden he's performing well. And give credit, by the way, to the Detroit Tigers, because you got to remember the entire sort of story arc of Jack Flaherty. In his final year with the Cardinals up until the trade, it was an up-and-down season for him, but it wasn't bad. He had some good moments. He had some not so good moments. The overall numbers were average or maybe slightly below average. I'd have to look him up. I'm just kind of talking about this off the top of my head. But it wasn't good, wasn't bad. Was just kind of in his final three quarters of a season with the Cardinals. And then he went to Baltimore, and he was terrible. Terrible. He had one good start, that first start he made with Baltimore. And then he was terrible after that, and he lost his job as the starting pitcher. Went to Detroit this year, was great. Detroit unlocked him. And Detroit's one of those organizations that's really, really smart, and they tend to get the most out of players. You always hear me talk about making players the best version of themselves. I say that over and over and over and over and over. Well, Detroit's pretty good at that. And look, some organizations are better at unlocking certain type of guys. And so Detroit's not 100%, but they're good. They're really good. And they locked in on Flaherty, and they helped him out, and they figured some things out for him. It was really good. He got traded at the deadline when nobody knew that Detroit was going to go on the run that they ended up going on. And for the most part, he's been good with the Dodgers, has been up and down in the playoffs, has like 7 ERA in the playoffs, but that's small sample size, had one blow up in there. So, but yeah, I think playing the game with Flaherty saying, oh, the Cardinals sending out another guy that's going to go have success somewhere else, that I don't think that tells the whole story on him at all. And I don't need to go back into this too much, because we had this conversation after Tommy Edman was named the NLCS MVP. To a lesser extent, but kind of in the same vein, I don't think it's the same thing with Edmund. That was a good trade that the Cardinals pulled off when they got Eric Fetty. Right, even right now, if tomorrow somebody asked me if Tom, you know, if we were to hop in the DeLorean and that trade never happens and everything else that has happened has basically occurred, obviously Edmund being the NLCS MVP wouldn't have happened because he wouldn't be with the Dodgers, but you get where I'm going with this. Like, basically, if everything else is the same and somebody says, would you trade Edmund for Fetty? Yeah, I would. I think Eric Fetty gives you more for next year than Tommy Edmund was going to give you. Edmund did not have a clear and defined role anymore on this Cardinals team. And that's part of what I want to talk about in our next segment, because there seems to be this like overwhelming belief that even if the Cardinals have a massive reduction in payroll, that they are also going to take a massive step back next year. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to put lipstick on a pig here. I'm not going to tell you that the Cardinals are contending for a World Series next year or anything like that. Obviously, this team is in a little bit of a transitional period. They're trying to redo player development. They're trying to redo some other things from a how they just go about the business of baseball. And I'm talking on-field part of it. They're doing a lot. And we're less than a year now from John Mozeliak not being in that role anymore and then transitioning president of baseball operations to Chaim Bloom. So it is obviously a transitional year. But to think that they're going to take this major step back going into next season, I think that is somewhat flawed. And I'll explain that to you coming up in just a few moments. As always, if you want to chime in, probably today, best to text or tweet. You can text in 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900, or you could tweet at me at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line. Have you for just a little while longer till we get out here for Billikens basketball. More coming up in just a moment right here on KMOX. Yeah, you just heard that promo for the Bernie Miklas show. He does a video podcast, which is available. It's also available audio-wise via the Odyssey app. He's all over KMOX doing hits on all the shows, including this one. Does us once a week, and then he's on once or twice a week with pretty much every other station, every other show on the station. But I love what he's doing right now with his, like, I don't want to call him short form podcast because that makes you feel like it's like 5 minutes long, but he goes in depth on basically one topic, and there is nobody who does more statistical research and analysis than Bernie. And hearing him go deep on one thing for, you know, 15, 20 minutes, however long it might be on a daily basis, however long it needs to be, is something that you learn things. Like, I like learning stuff. That's something that that I enjoy. I know I don't know everything. Some people would say I know nothing, but I enjoy being able to learn stuff. So it's been cool ever since since he hasn't been doing daily radio, and since he's joined us here at KMOX and he's doing different things. Those videos are really cool, and hopefully you can check them out. Whether it's on YouTube or going in via the Odyssey app and the audio version and all that sort of stuff. So all right, so I've been thinking about this a lot. Actually, today I walked into the sports office and sports producer extraordinaire Kyle Sixt is sitting there. And before I can even like say hello to him, I threw this off of him because I didn't want to think that I was crazy. And I don't think I am. I don't think I am. And I know there's people who are listening who are going to think I'm crazy on this. But there's been like this ever since John Mozeliak spoke a couple days ago after all the moves were made. And the answer that he gave about the reduction of payroll and how he said, we envision that there's going to be many opportunities for young players. I have shifted from being like 50-50 on the, okay, are they shedding payroll just by not having Paul Goldschmidt and Kyle Gibson and Lance Lynn? Or are they shedding payroll by not having those guys plus not having other large contracts that are currently on the books? And I've now gone to the point where I expect them to move some key players. I have a hard time believing the players they could potentially move or almost certainly will move include Nolan Arenado, Wilson Contreras, Sonny Gray, Miles Mikolas, Steven Matz, Ryan Helsley. I think Helsley for a different reason, not so much because of the cost that goes along with him, but because of the value you would get back for him in a year where you're not competing at a super high level. So Helsley's a little bit different than the other names I mentioned, but those are all guys that that could potentially not be back. So I was thinking through that, and there's no real way to know like who's going to get moved and who's not going to get moved. My thought process is I think they're likely to move on from Nolan Arenado and Wilson Contreras. I think those are the guys that strike me as being most interested in going and competing somewhere at a higher level. The Sonny Gray thing's interesting. If there are some teams out there that maybe come up short when they're looking for free agent pitching this year and they were really looking to add a pitcher and they come to the Cardinals with a really, really good package of players for Sonny Gray, then maybe they move him. But I also kind of see a scenario where Gray sticks around. I think that's possible. When I'm thinking about next year, I don't know how it's going to happen, but bluntly, as I think through what's going to happen next year, my thought process doesn't even include Miles Mikolas and Steven Matz. Maybe they're still on the team. I don't know. I feel like at this point, as you try to move to whatever this next era of Cardinals baseball is going to be, just moving on from those guys, even if you have to eat some of the salary, you would have to eat some of the salary. Like, there's not another team in Major League Baseball that you're going to be able to trade Miles Mikolas to and then take his entire salary. That simply is not happening. So, but I don't view them as being part of the plans just the way kind of I see it. So let's look at it from a starting pitching perspective. Think about a rotation going into this past season where it was going to be Sonny Gray, Miles Mikolas, Kyle Gibson, Lance Lynn, Steven Matz. That was the plan for this season. And compare that to a rotation that is Sonny Gray, Eric Fetty, Andre Pallante, and then those final two spots being some combination of Michael McGreevy, Gordon Graceffo, and Quinn Matthews. Is there really that much difference between rotation number one and rotation number two? I don't think so. I don't think, and I would argue that rotation number two has the chance to get better as the year goes along. Because where a Lance Lynn had a hard time staying on the field, and this is not me taking shots at Lynn and Gibson. They did exactly what they were assigned to do in terms of their overall numbers. But Lynn couldn't completely stay on the field, and it felt like Gibson's percentage of starts being bad starts, that percentage went up as the season went along. And I just think as young guys, like and you, at some point you probably hit a little bit of a wall with McGreevy and Graceffo, but they also pitched through that wall and come back out on the other side. I just think from a starting pitching standpoint, it's not a lot of difference. And I know there's already people yelling at their radio right now and saying, but Matt, they weren't even a playoff team last year, so why do you care if the rotation can be as good as it was this past season when they weren't even a playoff team? And that's where we temper expectations. I don't think it's invalid to have a reasonable hope that they could still be in playoff contention next year, just as they were this year. They were clearly and obviously a team that was in playoff contention this year. They came up short of it, but they were a playoff contending team this year. In a year that is kind of being built as a rebuilding year, as they go into a new era of Cardinals baseball, can this team still be somewhat similar to what they were this past year in terms of wins and losses, all the while being able to utilize more young players? I think so. From an offensive standpoint, that was starting pitching. From an offensive standpoint, Paul Goldschmidt had the, second or third worst OPS of any first baseman in baseball this year. Nolan Arenado had a better season offensively than I think people give him credit for, but at the same time, he wasn't driving the ball. He wasn't hitting doubles. He wasn't hitting home runs. He was a different player. If you remove those two guys, and if you cover first, second, and third with some combination on an everyday basis of Alec Burleson, maybe Ivan Herrera, we're talking specifically to first base, Nolan Gorman, second and third. Brendan Donovan, second and third. Thomas Ajayi, second and third. If that's, and then you got the DH, probably those guys are your prime candidates to be in the DH role as well. Can those guys that I just mentioned give you the same level of production that you got from Goldschmidt and Arenado this year and whatever you got at second base as well? Yeah, absolutely they can. Is it good enough for them to be a playoff team? Maybe, maybe not. In some years, what they did this past year would have been good enough for the playoffs. This year, it wasn't. The National League had more, was a little bit more top-heavy this year than it is some years. So this the idea of this massive step back going into next season, I don't buy it. I don't think they're going to take a step forward from a win-loss perspective. I think they take a step forward for the long-term goal of this team once again being a contender and a team that can play at the highest level because they're going to be doing a better job of producing players. But they, I just see the path for them being kind of the same next year. And you might say, well, that's not good enough. Kind of the same when this year the stated goal was to win the division and be a legit contender. And kind of the same when the stated goal, or maybe the unstated goal, but the real goal is to go through this transition period. I think those are two different things. And it could be fun and exciting to watch some of these young players have opportunities. The big key offensively is unlocking Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker. And maybe Brent Brown's the guy to do that. Maybe other people, other smart people that they bring into the organization can do that. Everything I just said, it like the offense doesn't really match or even exceed what happens this past year without Walker and Gorman taking major steps forward. Major steps forward. And that's the responsibility of the organization right now, to put people in place to, again, I'm going to use the term again. You'll hear it a lot. Right now, the organization has to find people, and whether it's Brent Brown or somebody else, has to find people that can help Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman become the guys that we thought they were going to be. Gorman, get him on the path to being that 30 home run guy. Walker, get him on that path to be a middle of the order run producer. And if you have that, if those guys take a step forward, you know, they don't match Wilson Contreras's offensive production with Pedro Páez and Ivan Herrera. Herrera's a good offensive player. He's not Wilson Contreras. Páez is an average offensive player, good defensive player. They take a step back from what they don't have if they don't have Wilson Contreras next year. But that other stuff can make up for it. Now, if they trade Ryan Helsley, ninth inning becomes more of a question. I don't know who gets that first opportunity. Is it Jojo Romero who gets that first opportunity to be a ninth inning guy? Is it somebody else like that? The one area that I would be that I would say, okay, this is a major step back from last year to this year, is if they do trade Ryan Helsley, you're moving on from one of the top closers in the game to somebody who's not. And that you don't make up for that. But all that other stuff, the starting rotation, the starting lineup, I think you can make up for that based off what you already kind of have in-house. Maybe I'm crazy. Tell me I'm crazy. You can text in 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900, or you can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. I don't think you have to squint that hard to see a scenario where the Cardinals don't take a major step back this next season. All the while, behind the scenes, they're taking a major step forward towards this being a team that can once again produce high-level talent out of the minor leagues and put themselves in position to compete at a very high level. 314-436-7900 if you want to chime in on that. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Some details came out in the Post-Dispatch today, courtesy of Dan Caesar, about what the TV situation for the Cardinals might look like next season. Nothing like from a breaking news standpoint, but there are still, we know that there are two options on the table. We'll go through that coming up in just a moment right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Just a few minutes left in the program. We're going to get out of here for Billiken's basketball. They've got an exhibition game tonight. They match up against Maryville. Bob Ramsey, Earl Austin Jr. on the call of the game. Our coverage begins at about 6:45, so in less than 10 minutes, Billikens basketball, exhibition Billikens basketball on the air right here on KMOX, and those are very, very, very good words to be able to say. There was a piece in the Post-Dispatch STL today as Dan Caesar spoke with Cardinals Senior Vice President of Business Operations, Anuk Karunaratne, and in the conversation, it was said that the TV situation for next year is not settled, but basically there are two pathways that the team can go down. And if you listen to the show every day, you've heard this conversation. This is kind of what we've already said, but now it's been really confirmed by a Cardinal official that the Cardinals can follow the lead of the other teams that have left Bally and move forward producing their own broadcast through the facilities of MLB Network, and those games would still be available on cable. It would probably be a different channel, but those games, you could still, whether you have cable or whether you have satellite or streaming like a YouTube TV or Hulu Live TV, whatever it might be, likely would be, you would be able to find those games somewhere on regular, you know, air quote, regular TV, all the while, if you don't have a cable, satellite, streaming provider, there would be a direct-to-consumer option that you could get via streaming. So that's one option. The other option is staying with what was previously known as Bally, now FanDuel Sports Network. And while at one point it was reported that Bally had basically canceled contracts with all the teams, there are a handful of teams they hadn't canceled contracts with because they were in a joint partner with those teams where the teams have some ownership stake, and that includes the Cardinals. So the deal that is in place right now will not be the deal that will happen next year, but there is a possibility that the Cardinals could potentially renegotiate with what was known as Bally, now known as FanDuel, and it kind of look the same next year, outside of the fact that there would also be that direct-to-consumer streaming option, that if they're going to go through the renegotiation, that the Cardinals will have streaming rights, there'll be no local blackouts, and you can go purchase the ability to just stream the games. So those are the two paths. Either way, streaming is going to be a possibility for anybody to watch the local broadcast, and there will be no blackouts in the St. Louis area. So that is something that I know is important to a lot of people. It was mentioned that there is some value in the Cardinals and Blues staying on the same network together. I think there's some truth to that. The fact that Bally was just rebranded as FanDuel says that the Bally folks got a little bit of infusion of cash, and they're trying to stay alive. And I would think that Cardinals, even with Cardinals TV ratings being down this past year, they're still really good. And if you can get more eyes on them, they're gonna be even better. So I'm sure we'll talk about this a little bit more next week. But we do know for sure now that there's just one of two options that the team is going to go down. Local over-the-air TV does not seem to be something that is likely to happen, at least for this upcoming year. That's it for a shortened edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line. How about this? Billikens basketball on the way next on KMOX.